James Johnson, GIS Support Manager for NTT Data, Texas Department of Transportation. Jim Scott, Director of Texas Operations Applied Geographics, are going to join in this workshop. James is the GIS Support Manager for NTT Data, a contractor for Texas Department of Transportation. He's responsible for the daily support of TxDOT employees in the areas of geographic information systems and global positioning system technologies. Prior to joining NTT Data, James worked for TxDOT and functioned as the team lead for GIS support operations. He has an extensive background in the areas of GIS desktop and server technologies, as well as GPS data collection and manipulation. Jim Scott is Director of Texas Operations for Applied Geographics. Former State of Texas Geographic Information Officer, Jim has over 20 years of experience with geospatial and remote sensing technologies. He is currently developing AppGeo's newest geospatial services and technologies development center in Austin, Texas. Please welcome James Johnson and Jim Scott to the Cloud Developer Summit at Expo.
Hello, everyone. Thanks, Jack, for the loud clapping. I appreciate it. I wanted to step back just a little bit. Jack brought up a really good point that I wanted to convey to everyone in the audience, that where this application has come and where it is today and where we hope it'll go tomorrow. And he made a good point about TxDOT's IT circumstances in general and how it kind of relates to this application. A year and a half ago or so, TxDOT outsourced all of their IT initiatives to NTT Data. And along with those IT outsourcing was the engineering support group, which I belong to. And since then, we've had a really, really good experience with NTT Data, brought in a lot of new, fresh ideas that we didn't have access to at the state level. And one of those initiatives that we've taken on for TxDOT is to look at this application. This is considered a critical application for TxDOT. It transmits real-time information that's collected by TxDOT users, TxDOT employees in the field at the lowest level. You've got the TxDOT employees that are driving around looking at the state of the department's infrastructure, the road network, the things that the traveling public drive on, any of the state roads that we've got. And that information is then pulled into this application and displayed on a web map. And we have a lot of information that comes into this application from accidents, lane closures, construction, as well as weather event data. You know, if we have icy conditions during the winter and, you know, knock on wood, we haven't had a hurricane this season. But in an event of a hurricane, this would be a primary source of how the state of the roadway network is for the public, so that they can immediately go and the media can be directed to go to this site to find out the latest information that the department has as far as what's going on and what's taking place that they're aware of in regards to the traveling for the traveling public. And with that, we had one reason we transitioned, or we took it upon ourselves to really look at this application and break it down to see if we can improve upon it, is we had five major weather events this season here in Texas. And for those of you that are not familiar with Texas, we don't get a lot of cold weather. But when we do, it's usually in the form of ice, especially up north, Dallas, and north of there. We've got a lot of people that travel on the interstate roadways, and the ice is a major, major concern for TxDOT. Just from a safety perspective, but also to keep that traveling public moving so that we can not have to go through the burden of closing a roadway and making it impossible for that shipment to get from point A to point B. And because, as you know, here in Texas, you know, the road network is the lifeline between a lot of these communities, and we move a lot of freight from Mexico into the U.S., as well as other goods and services and other products in and out of the state. And this application, we didn't even realize that it's used quite heavily by the trucking industry. We have a lot of people that have told us that they rely on this as they're traveling through the state to find out if there is construction, road conditions, things like that, that they need to be aware of before they even hit the state line. And this past year we had the five weather events that we had, and the application that we had before this version could not sustain the amount of traffic that we were seeing. And that was one of the main reasons. We had really good technology. It had come. We've had a road conditions application for TxDOT for probably 10 years or so. And it's transitioned from a text-based web application to a dynamic web map app over the last few years. But the technology behind it really hasn't transitioned too far away from that. And what we noticed is that when we moved the application out to the cloud, we could actually see the traffic coming in and see where the traffic's coming from, and notice that if we got up over a couple of thousand users on it simultaneously, there was extremely degraded performance. You know, the users were seeing 15, 20 seconds, 30 seconds a minute or more cases of latency that's built in, that they could not get that information. And a lot of users, me, one of them, would close the app. No reason to sit there and wait on it. I think the app is broke. I'm just going to close it and go on and move on to the next thing. And so we approached some of our business partners at Google and asked them if they felt that Map Engine could support the number of users that we could expect, you know, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of simultaneous users. And of course, you know, great product. And we said, yep, looks great, but we really want to make sure that we design the app that will allow it to be sustainable throughout the life of the application. And we're going to test it. We believe you, you know. Think you're a great guy, Jack, but we believe in test results. We want to be able to point to something that says, you know, we're confident in what it can do. You know, when the, you know, in the comment earlier, we hear that comment a lot at TxDOT, you know, where the rubber meets the road, where, you know, we really want to see the results. We trust you, but let's make sure ourselves. And so we went through and we analyzed the data to see exactly where the users were coming from. We've been using Google products even before we were really a Google customer. You know, we've hooked in Google Analytics into the application to really see and analyze the data, which has been a big help to really paint a picture of what types of users are accessing the site, how they're actually using it. We've built in events into the application so that we know how many users are actually turning on features, turning them off, what they're clicking on. So it helps us from a development perspective to know what the customer is really interested in. And that's been a big benefit for TxDOT. They can, you know, from an engineering perspective, you know, an engineer may have a different view on what he would like to see versus, you know, a soccer mom traveling down the road and wanting to see if there's construction that's going to be impacting her, you know. So the analytics was able to provide us a lot of information. We can actually see how many users were coming in during those major weather events, where they're coming in from, you know, and the interesting part about it was we had, and also when they come in and look at the site, I mentioned that we had these five major weather events, and a couple of them really impacted the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And we noticed that right about 5 a.m. or so, you'd start seeing the traffic peak up, start tracking up. And, you know, which makes sense. People are getting up out of bed. They're going to check the site. You know, I've got to go to work. I'm going to see how much, you know, I'm going to check the weather, probably see how much snow fell or how much ice. You know, I'm going to look at Drive Texas and see, let's see how it's impacted the roads. Let's see if TxDOT's closed any roads where I'm going to be traveling. And let's plan a route, you know, around it and see exactly what's going on. And we noticed that it would track up till about 7 or 8 o'clock, and then it would level off, and then you'd see it kind of go down, and then you'd see it kind of track back up around lunch, and see, especially during those, you know, 3 to 5 days that you had that weather going on. And so it really, it was a really good tool, you know, the analytics part that we had built into the site, of a big benefit to really paint the picture of how the users are using the site. If we expand it out a little bit and we think about building a site that is not only valuable for the day-to-day users, you know, that are looking, interested in what's going on as far as construction, things like that, but also during snow events that are kind of regional based. But if we look at a hurricane, what kinds of things do we need to build into the site so that we can support, you know, thousands of users on per day versus 10,000 users per hour, or 23 million is what we kind of predicted that we may have to support for this site during a hurricane event, such as, you know, if something came into the Texas coast through Houston and we had to evacuate, you know, and we had people not only interested in Texas, but, you know, nationwide, that are going to be interested in seeing what's happening in Texas. And, you know, and seeing those pictures of people sitting on the interstates waiting and parked for hours on end, running out of gas. You know, we don't want that to happen again. And we want to build a site. We want to build an application that a user can go to that will help give them good information, and not only give them information, but also help them identify where the areas, where the problem areas are, and maybe how to get around them. So, the technology behind the application, like I mentioned a while ago, is we currently have a data editing environment that the TxDOT employees go in. It's in the Amazon cloud, and we've been an Amazon cloud partner for quite a few years, and the Amazon cloud does a really good job. It's already configured to use our Esri tools. We are able to get in there and manage the application really well. We've got about 2,000 users that go in and edit the application on a daily basis. They update construction closures, lane closures, accidents, things like that. And we knew that during the major weather event that particular architecture could not support more than about 2,000 users. So we approached Google, and we took their recommendation, and we had our partners at Geo build a Google app using Google Maps Engine that connects to those Esri tools. So it's a Google app that integrates with our traditional Esri tools really well. You know, the Esri platform creates the web services just like a lot of the other traditional web tools create. So you can connect to them. They're able to extract the data out, place it into Google Maps. We've got all the traditional symbology that people are used to seeing, the points, the lines, along with all the attribute information, you know. All of the fundamental GIS things that our customers have been used to seeing, we were able to port them over and use them with Google, and use the power of Google to spread that out throughout Google's cloud. And we use their services, their API, their Google Cloud services, as well as Google Maps Engine to present that data on the map. Wanted to show a little bit of mentioned a while ago that we did a series of tests, and we worked with a great company. I can't tell you how much I really liked working with SOSTA and their cloud test environment. A pretty neat tool, all in the cloud. We were able to partner with them, and they performed the stress test against the application in its development environment in the Google Cloud. We were able to initially test the application up to 20,000 users, and I remember the day, and I think, Jack, you were on the phone, our chief technology officer, he said, well, what's it going to take it up to 100,000? And so the analyst at SOSTA said, yeah, we can do it right now, bloop. And I remember Jack's like, hey, wait, hold on, we weren't prepared for this, so we can't guarantee anything, but it went off like a champ. I mean, it was the neatest thing to see of the partners at SOSTA, where we could connect in and actually, during their web meeting, we could see the live results of those virtual users getting created. And they created virtual users in Amazon, I think Google, Rackspace. They created them all over the place to really balance that load out. And you can see there the spike. And the key here for TxDOT was we wanted to make sure that the user experience was not going to get degraded. And what we were looking for was something of about 5 seconds or less as far as a refresh time. So if the user opened up the site, they accessed it and they opened it up and looked at it, it would take less than 5 seconds for that site to actually come up and they could see all the information. It was fully loaded. And from the initial load, initial testing, we never even got up over 20 milliseconds for 20,000 virtual users. And you can see even with the stress on Google Maps Engine, when we went from 20,000 to 100,000, we still never even got up over a second. We were at under 53 milliseconds there at 100,000 users. And you can see after the stress, it was starting to calm back down. The system was able to react that quick to that change. And that was a good test for us because we could envision a hurricane coming in and we start publicizing, you know, through a TxDOT marketing campaign to the media that, you know, hurricanes coming in, please reference drivetexas.org for the latest road closure information and immediately get 100,000 people on the site that quick. So, you know, it was a test to the system that we could put an application out there and really get the performance that we've been wanting for a very long time. So, great team to work with at SOSTA. Cloud test, I mean, it was really quick. It didn't take much time at all to really get that environment stood up. They scheduled it, and we were off and running on a test, you know, within a week. Wanted to talk a little bit about the application itself. And it's available. The neat thing about it is our partners at AppGeo have developed a site. It's one site that's mobile friendly, tablet friendly, desktop friendly, that anybody can get on and it's familiar to them. It's got the Google Maps as a background. Everybody's familiar with that from Google Maps.com, you know, exact same thing, along with the TxDOT related road information found on it. And I put a link on here so we could click. Let's see. Open it. There we go. And this, like I said a while ago, this application, hold on, let's see. If it is it coming across? How do we get it to?
You want to escape out of this.
Oh, escape out. Okay.
There you go.
Perfect. Thank you. The when the site initially loads, we've get We get specific information on how up-to-date the information that you're going to see on the map. The application goes out to the Esri Map Services, extracts the data every 10 minutes. So we've got data that's virtually live from that point on. And that process never stops. You know, we continually connect to it, even during major weather event. Every 10 minutes, going to get a refresh of that data. And you can see here, we've also provide contact information that shows the time that it was last updated, and TxDOT also maintains a helpline that you can call and get traveler information from. The site is, very different from the original design that we had. The original design, when you came in and accessed the site, let's zoom in and let's look at something real quick. So imagine you're coming in and the initial site that we had that was using Esri Web Services, the site would come in and the user would see the linear feature for that particular road condition, whether it was an accident, construction, a closure, whatever it was. So you can imagine you've got 5,000 conditions if you've got a snow event going on up in the Panhandle or in Dallas. The map's going to look all jumbled up with all of that information. We took one of the AppGeo's recommendations and transform those linear features into points, something that's clear, actionable, that you can click on, you can find information, and you can zoom in and see more information about it. Some of the information that, one of the cool things that I like that was one of the biggest benefits, and I think it had one of the biggest impacts for TxDOT, was the dynamic look of the call-out box that's presented. You're presented with an easy-to-find, easy-to-locate expected end date for that particular event that's happening on the roadway. You also quickly can find out if it's affecting both directions of traffic, one direction, you know, if it's a lane closure, things like that, and it's easy to read versus kind of a tabular looking call out. You know, people are, and we took this as a recommendation from them. This is what a lot of the non-technical people are moving towards, you know, and it presents really well on a mobile device as well. You know, it's not tabular and you have to scroll down and figure out what's going on. The map customizes based on the type of device that you're using. And you can minimize to get more access to the map if you want. But overall, really good user experience that we've had with TxDOT and the map display. We were standing down here just a minute ago, and we were talking about, you know, what's going to happen next. You know, now that we've got this, I wanted to kind of talk about, since we were just, I was just listening to a lot of good discussion on mobility, and we're also thinking about how mobility can affect this application. You know, One area that TxDOT's been looking at is crowdsourcing information and being able to vet that information out. We're also looking at integrating with other business partners from Google with their Waze application and really looking at some new innovative things that you know that are now on the market that weren't on the market, you know, a few years ago. And because the environment's changing so fast. We're also looking at, since we lucked out, thank goodness, and didn't have a hurricane this season, we're also looking at creating a more innovative approach to displaying roadway information for the traveling public in the event of a hurricane, so that you'll know which roadways are the contraflow lanes, that have contraflow lanes, the traffic patterns all through the map, that's mobile ready, so that when you're leaving Houston, you can go here, you can see, okay, when I get up to Interstate 10 and 610, they're gonna have these certain ramps closed. I'll know that information before I get there. We're also looking at really talking with our partners at TxDOT, the business units that support this application, and finding out other areas that they're interested in and that may help with their data editing capabilities. And we also are looking at maybe doing focus groups. You know, what is the public interested in seeing out of this application? You know, because we realize that it's this, even though it's a TxDOT application, it's really for the public. This is TxDOT's gathering the information so that they can make business decisions about what roads need to be. We need to address for ice, you know, if we need to put a remedy, a situation for that particular thing. But as a byproduct, we want to be able to produce good quality information that is useful to the public. And, and I can see long-term where we could actually incorporate this and being the front-facing central location for intelligent transportation systems, you know, where we're connecting in various sensors, we're gathering this data from all these different locations, and we're presenting the information not only to the TxDOT engineers that are making business decisions, but also gathering all of that big data that we're gathering and presenting it, useful information back to the public. You know, maybe traffic patterns, preferred detours, things like that. You know, we've also looked at other areas that are interested in TxDOT that could use and leverage this technology. You know, for our travel and tourism group, you know, how we can present some of this information and recommend the traveling public to go to these certain places in Texas, and then provide any other information along those lines as well. So there's a big, the potential out there is enormous on the different things that you can do with these web mapping applications and open up the world of state government to the public and present this information, you know, that they've in the past probably have stashed away and stored and not really thought that the public would find it interesting or useful. And making it interesting and useful for them through a nice, presentable map interface. So let's see. I had one other. Slide. And I wanted to put some contact information up here for anybody that wanted to reach out to Jim and his team at AppGeo. Great team there that we're working with. We're still working with at TxDOT to bring out new releases of the DriveText application, as well as Matt and the team at SOSTA, that really good group of guys to work with for any cloud testing. Super easy. Never realized that, you know, testing an app could be as easy as it is, but it, you know, they make it look like it's, you know, piece of cake. So be glad to take any questions. Jim, did you want to have anything? Did you want to speak about anything? Or? Okay. Anybody have any questions? Can be difficult ones. So. Yes, sir, Marty. Sure. We've got our. To get the information into the application, we edit, like I said, we've got about 2,000 named users around the state. And some of these folks are maintenance technicians, public information officers, people that get notifications from media sources, our other ITS travel centers that are around the state. They come into a data editing environment that's very similar to what you see here. It's a web mapping interface where, based on your certain security credentials, you have the ability to select a particular roadway and identify it as having a particular type of condition, and you can set a limit, like when the condition would start, when it would time out. And you can save that information, and within a matter of 10 minutes, it's published out into Google Maps engine. And that's been a task in itself. We actually took that application that was homegrown and resided on internal TxDOT hardware, and we transitioned that application out to the Amazon cloud. And the reason we chose Amazon cloud is not only that they have the pre-built Esri Amazon machine images that we can spin up, you know, which makes our support perspective much easier. It also uses a lot of our existing resources, development resources, support resources that we have now with NTT Data to allow the application to scale out horizontally when needed. The only difference with this application and with the editing application is we're never going to get all 2,000 users on at one time that are going to be editing. I can guarantee you at some point we may have 23 million people on the site. On average, when we analyzed the editing environment, we got about 15 to 20 people on at one time simultaneously. So it was a good environment where we can spin up, spin down. Mostly it's in a very small encapsulated application. But thanks for asking. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Google Maps stuff primarily over web services.
Yes, sir.
Can you go into some detail on the security Xavier between those two environments?
Right. The with the web services that we publish out from the Esri tools, it's a public-facing web service. None of the information in that web service is and it has any kind of security threat. So we transmit that data. Google comes in, and they have a process that they run in their Google Cloud Services to connect to that web service and extract using, I think it's a JSON format, out of that web service. And they basically look for any changes. We had an initial load, and as they compare the existing records with a query that they run on the web service. If there are any changes, it pulls over just the changes, and then they update the web service. Since it is a non-sensitive nature piece of information, we do, it's just a point-to-point connection, and we can do that over the internet. And they pull it into their Google environment. Now, once it's in Google, we use all of their security protocols to make sure that users cannot go in there and inject any, you know, any wrong conditions, you know, per se, into the application. So. Go ahead, Jack.
Comment and question. So during the Solasta test, when we went from 10,000 to 100,000, I said three words. Who authorized that? It was actually our sales engineer that was involved, and I'm glad that we're all glad that happened, that provided the
Thanks for bringing that up. And that's a good point. Now, for those that are just joining, we took this application out of an Esri-based web mapping application that we could only support about 2,000 plus simultaneous users on the site at one time. And we figured that out this past winter during a major ice storm where the application actually failed. And we had to pretty much have a denial of service because we couldn't support, you know, the 3,000, the 4,000, the 5,000 users that were trying to get to the site, which took us into Google Maps Engine that we can now support, you know, through testing that we validated and through real world, you know, up to 10,000 users an hour, you know, 100,000 users per second. And the marketing campaign has been very slow at TxDOT because of that. We haven't really had a really good real world test to say, yes, let's fully adopt this, you know, this new tool, this new revitalized tool that we have. And I think it's the issue there is, you know, it's one of those that TxDOT is leery on communicating this new thing until they fully believe that it'll work. And you know, we've been struggling with them for a long time, and you know, it kind of comes back to this test here. It's like we all know, and the folks in IT for TxDOT know that the application can support, you know, the millions of users that potential users that could access this site. But it's another one, you know, when you know, the business that's ultimately responsible, the communications wing of TxDOT is responsible, you know, for passing this message on and telling the media, yes, go to this site, use it a lot, you know, put the message out there, drive people to this site, to drivetexas.org. And I think it's going to take, and I imagine probably within the next month or so, we will have an ice storm in Dallas or in the Panhandle, and we will get to see the actual site perform the way that we expect it. And I think it's going to take that adoption, you know, after the fact, you know, because, you know, in state government and the panel was talking about this a little bit while ago, how we're in state government, it's very reactive instead of proactive, you know, in a lot of things. And, you know, we want to be proactive and tell everybody, you know, please just start using this. But until they see it and really can touch it, I think that's we're going to have to wait until then, you know, unfortunately. So thank you.
We'll want an update on the spring activity.
Most definitely. We'd love to come back.
All right,